All right, ladies and gentlemen, you are broadcasting and recording.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Well, I'd like to welcome the public to this meeting, and I will call this meeting to order. Just to remind you that it's being webcast and recorded, so please speak clearly. In order to comply with public gathering limitations, the physical distancing requirements, and as authorized by the governor's executive orders, there is no physical meeting room. For people who only want to listen or watch the meeting, the board's customary webcast is available. For those in the Zoom meeting, you will be on mute and your camera will be turned off until it is your turn to speak. The host will then unmute you and ask you to turn on your camera if you have one. When you are done speaking and the board members have completed asking questions, you will be placed on mute and your camera turned off. You can remain in the Zoom meeting until the completion of your item, and then you may choose to exit, or you may also choose to continue and stay at the meeting. So we'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance. So when the flag gets up there, everybody could stand if they can, I guess. And we will start. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America,
to the Republic,
for which it stands,
one nation,
under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, roll call, please.
Board Member Wasano?
Present.
Board Member Music?
Here.
Vice Chair Powell?
Here.
Board Member Satin?
Present.
Chair Wright?
Here.
Madam Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you. Okay, the purpose of this meeting is for the regional board members to obtain testimony and information from concerned and affected parties within the Colorado River Basin region for water quality issues. Now is the time for the public forum meeting, and Mary, is there anybody who's requested to speak at the public forum part of this meeting?
No, we do not have any speaker requests.
Okay, then I will move on to item one, which is the State Water Board Liaison Update. Good morning, Laurel Firestone. God, we haven't seen you in a while.
Good to see you all. Good to be here. I know this, I was realizing I don't have a ton to add to what the report I gave just a couple weeks ago at the last board meeting. Two things to highlight are that we just, it was yesterday, no, the day before on Tuesday, adopted the fund expenditure plan for the SAFER program, which outlines how we plan to spend the $130 million for safe and affordable drinking water. There are a lot of different pieces that fit into that, including interim water supplies, technical assistance, operations and maintenance support, and then construction. And it includes support for not only public water systems that are out of compliance or at risk, but also, state smalls and domestic well areas. So that includes Polanco Parks, which I know is a big issue in this region. So wanted to highlight that encourage folks that are experiencing or at risk of experiencing challenges to contact us. We have a website that is on our main website, so www.waterboards.ca.gov and then /safer. And that's the main portal to all of our SAFER program resources, meetings, documents, and it makes it easy to find how to apply for funding and other assistance. So wanted to highlight that. That's a big milestone for us. This is the first fund expenditure plan. I mentioned at the last meeting, but wanted to confirm that the plan is to have a Salt and Sea workshop on August 19th. And that will be virtual. We're working with this region, as well as many stakeholders and other agencies, to plan that and make sure that it's accessible and successful in providing a public forum for folks to engage on the Salton Sea efforts, and look forward for that. And then I thought I'd just mention we have a toxicity workshop, staff workshop coming up July 29th, and that's to set toxicity standards across the state. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions. Again, I don't have a lot to add from the last board meeting.
Okay, board, I could see the rest of you. If anybody does, either raise your hand or just speak.
Good morning, Laura.
Go ahead.
Ed Music, I have a quick question for you. I don't know, are you aware that they're trying to make the Joshua tree an endangered species? Which could severely impact our project up here, and then the other projects for 29 and Joshua Tree. And I think they're going to vote in August.
Okay, good to know. Yeah, no, and I think that it's interesting. I will pass it on.
Yeah, we're the Water District's preparing a letter, and I'll send you a copy. But for our phase one assessment, we had over $20 million of assessment to vacant parcels. And if they're loaded with Joshua trees, they may not be buildable. And so they're really not receiving a benefit. So that could severely impact our assessment district.
Yeah. I can't remember if I mentioned this at the last meeting, but we did, you know, we just adopted our clean water and drinking water SRF programs that cover a lot of funding projects around, you know, such as some of the ones you're talking about. So that's helpful, Flag. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Laurel, I have a couple of tips in regards to the Salton Sea workshop for August 19 to make it accessible. I participated in the AQMD AB617 air quality program. And when they did the announcement virtually or community forum, they had a very unique way of having the translators. So I would make a suggestion of contacting the AB617 program staff because they did a really good job when they did it virtually. And this was in March when they did it.
Yeah, we'll do that. And, you know, we definitely will be providing translation. And I think, you know, we have an Office of Public Participation that has been really doing an excellent job of trying to, of, you know, integrating translation into these virtual spaces. But I will definitely reach out or, you know, have them reach out to the Air Board, because I think everyone's trying to make sure that we're making, you know, this transition to virtual spaces accessible.
So, Laurel, my question was the staff for our board had a presentation prepared for the previous workshop that was canceled. I assume that we'll be on the agenda to give an update in August.
Good. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's really helpful.
So when will the agenda come out for the workshop? Do you know?
No, it usually comes out, you know, much closer to the actual day. And so, you know, I think
posting. I don't
know, for 10 probably days. The first part of August.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Seeing or hearing no other questions. Thank you, Laurel.
Thank you all.
Okay, we'll move on to the uncontested items. All items appear under the uncontested calendar are acted upon by the board in one motion without discussion. Currently, there is one item on the consent calendar, item number 2, which is a time schedule order for Imperial Irrigation District El Centro Generating Station. Would any of the board members at this time like to pull this off the uncontested calendar? Okay, hearing none. Mary, is there anybody who would like to speak on this that would like to pull this? Have you got any cards on this one? Item 2?
No, I do not.
Okay, thank you. So hearing none, then I will entertain a motion to adopt order number R7-2020-0019.
I so move.
Second.
Okay, roll call, please. Roll call vote, please.
Board Member Wassano?
Aye.
Board Member Music?
Yes.
Vice Chair Powell?
Aye.
Board Member Satin?
Aye.
Chair Wright?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Okay, now we will move into the workshop part of the meeting. Item number 3, which is R7-2020-0026. So I'd like to open this workshop on the draft general waste discharge requirements for discharges of waste from irrigated agricultural lands for the dischargers that are members of a coalition group in the Coachella Valley. The purpose of this workshop is for the Colorado River Basin Water Board to solicit stakeholder and board member input and is designed to encourage and facilitate a high level of interaction among the board members for discussing and providing direction to staff. The board welcomes input on this item, and members of the public will have an opportunity to provide comments. As such, electronic speaker card requests were submitted prior to the meeting to ensure a productive and efficient workshop. Oral presentations may be limited to 3 minutes, and there may be a quorum of the board, which there is, at this workshop. But it's an informal, and this is an informal item, and the board will take no action. The board will have an opportunity, though, to ask questions and to provide comments. So we'll start with the process. We'll start with Jenny Schneider, board staff. Jenny?
Is there my presentation slides? Is that, yeah, there you go. Okay. Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the board. My name is Jenny Schneider. I'm a water resource control engineer at the Colorado River Basin Water Board. Today, I'm going to talk about the general waste discharge requirements for agricultural dischargers in the Coachella Valley. And as Nancy mentioned, this is a workshop only, so the board will not be taking any action on this item today. Next slide. This is an overview of what I'm going to talk about today. I'll give you some background on how and why we regulate agricultural dischargers. I'll talk about the new statewide precedential requirements and why we're implementing them. And then I'll give you some details about the existing Coachella conditional waiver and the proposed general order and point out some of the differences and similarities. I'll also fill you in on the comments that we've gotten so far from the coalition. Next slide. Agricultural discharges include irrigation return flows or tailwater, subsurface drainage from tile drains or seepage to groundwater, and stormwater runoff. It can contain pollutants such as sediment, nutrients, pesticides, pathogens, and heavy metals. All agricultural discharges are non-point source discharges as defined by the Federal Clean Water Act. Next slide. The Federal Clean Water Act requires that all non-point sources of pollution be regulated. California meets that requirement through the implementation of its non-point source policy. The policy recognizes the advantages of third-party programs and relies on the implementation of management practices by dischargers to minimize sources of pollution. The implementation of management practices by themselves do not constitute compliance with the non-point source policy. An adaptive management approach is required. Implementing management practices that target the pollution source is the first step. Monitoring the management practices makes sure that they're working properly and reducing pollution. When problems are found, improved or additional management practices are implemented. The process is repeated over and over, and in time will result in more effective pollutant source control. Next slide. In 2013, the State Water Resources Control Board, or State Board, convened a panel of experts to assess the existing agricultural regulatory program and develop recommendations. The panel consisted of 8 agricultural professionals, including irrigation, soil, and crop specialists, a hydrogeologist and agronomist, and 2 growers from different areas of the state. 4 public comment meetings and 4 open work sessions were held in various locations to solicit input from stakeholders. Written comments were accepted, and a web page containing videotaped public sessions, written comments, and background information was maintained. The expert panel recommended a regulatory program that consisted of 8 key elements. Next slide. These next 2 slides show how closely the expert panel's recommendations correlate with the new precedential requirements. The recommendations are shown on the left, and whether they have become precedential requirements is shown on the right. The establishment of coalitions was not required, but was strongly recommended by the precedential order. Adoption of the applied over removed ratio for nitrogen control, sustained education and outreach, and the creation and implementation of irrigation and nitrogen management plans, or INMPs, are all required by the precedential order. Next slide. Targeted research is not part of regional irrigated lands programs, so it was not addressed by the precedential order. Field level reporting of key values, groundwater trend monitoring, and the use of multi-year values and trends to gauge progress are all required by the precedential order. Next slide. This diagram illustrates what is meant by applied and removed nitrogen. The grower keeps track of all nitrogen applied to the field from all sources, including fertilizer, organic amendments, and irrigation water. The sum of all those sources is the applied nitrogen. The nitrogen removed from the field is determined by measuring crop yields, organic materials disposed of after harvest, or nitrogen sequestered in permanent crops. All of those added together is the removed nitrogen. Next slide. Once the amounts of applied and removed nitrogen have been determined by the grower, they're used to calculate the applied over removed ratio and the applied minus removed difference. The applied over removed ratio is a simple metric to compare nitrogen source control and assess progress. The closer the ratio is to 1, the less nitrogen is being left behind in the field, and the better the source control. The applied minus removed difference is the actual amount of nitrogen in pounds per acre that has been left behind. The A minus R difference shows what is available for use by the next crop or the actual load that could be discharged to surface or groundwater. Over time, the applied and removed nitrogen metrics will provide valuable data to every grower on actual nitrogen use for every crop and field. Eventually, it will allow us to make real comparisons of management practices and reveal what it is reasonable to expect dischargers to achieve. Next slide. In February 2018, the State Board adopted an order that reviewed and revised an existing agricultural order for growers in the Eastern San Joaquin watershed. We usually refer to the reviewing order as the precedential order, and the order that was revised as the Eastern San Joaquin Order. The precedential order implemented many of the findings from the Ag Expert Panel and made them requirements for irrigated lands regulatory programs statewide. The State Board directed regional boards to implement the precedential requirements within 5 years or before February 7th, 2023. Next slide. This slide shows the 4 main agricultural areas within the Colorado River Basin region. You can see the Salton Sea is the black area in the middle. The black line to the right of the Salton Sea is the Colorado River, which is also the eastern border of the region. Coachella Valley irrigated lands are located just north of the Salton Sea, shown here in green. The Palo Verde Valley is on the eastern edge of the region, adjacent to the Colorado River and shown here in yellow. The Bard Valley, also adjacent to the river, is the tiny pink area in the very southeast corner of the region. Imperial Valley is the largest area, shown here in blue, just south of the Salton Sea. There are approximately 605,000 farmable acres in these combined areas, which is about 5% of the total land within the Colorado River Basin region. The board adopted conditional waivers for each of these areas to implement the requirements of the non-point source policy until effective general waste discharge requirements could be developed. Last year, the board adopted general waste discharge requirements for both the Palo Verde and the Bard Valleys. Next slide. This slide shows the general area covered by the Coachella Valley Agricultural Waiver in green. The conditional waiver for Coachella Valley was adopted in June 2014 and covered approximately 70,000 acres of irrigated land. The Coachella Valley Irrigated Lands Coalition was formed and agreed to represent dischargers who became members of the coalition. The conditional waiver would have expired after 5 years, but was renewed by the board and will now expire in December 2020, or sooner if it is replaced with the general order. Next slide. The agricultural order will replace the Coachella conditional waiver. The proposed general order and the conditional waiver have many of the same elements and requirements. One key difference is that the waiver only lasts for 5 years, but the general order has no expiration date. The general order can be revised at any time if necessary. The Coachella general order is the third of four agricultural orders that are planned for this region. It is consistent with other agricultural orders in the region, but takes the unique characteristics of the Coachella Valley into account. The proposed general order carries forward many of the requirements of the conditional waiver and adds the new statewide precedential requirements to comply with state laws and policies. Next slide. The general order applies to discharges from commercial irrigated lands in the Coachella Valley. The definition of commercial irrigated land for the purposes of this order is irrigated land that produces crops or is used as pasture and meets any of these other criteria. The grower holds a current operator identification number for pesticide reporting or files federal taxes claiming a profit or loss from farming, or sells the crop to a company, cooperative, or at a farmer's market. The general order only provides coverage for dischargers who become members of a coalition. Dischargers that are not coalition members or are otherwise not eligible for coverage under this order must apply for individual waste discharge requirements. Coverage under this general order is not required for irrigated lands that are farmed as a hobby or for personal consumption. Agricultural activities that are regulated by other waste discharge requirements, like confined animal feeding operations or cannabis cultivation, are not required to obtain coverage under this order. Next slide. These are the requirements for coalition members under the proposed general order. Many of these were already required under the conditional waiver. Only the ones shown in bold are new. The due dates are shown on the right, and I would like to point out that the new requirements don't take effect immediately. They are being phased in to give members time to meet them while staying in compliance. I'm going to talk briefly about each of these new requirements. Next slide. Next slide. All coalition members are required to submit an electronic notice of intent, or ENOI, within 1 year of adoption of the general order. The ENOI collects owner and operator contact information and the assessor's parcel number of each parcel enrolled under the order. The ENOI is only submitted once and then updated when contact or parcel information changes. The ENOI is entered into the state's GeoTracker database, which is accessible through the internet and has a Geographic Information System, or GIS, interface. Using GeoTracker to store membership and property information will enable regional board staff to easily locate parcels that are not enrolled in the order and contact dischargers that are not meeting coalition requirements. Next slide. Coalition members who have drinking water wells located on their property are required to monitor them for nitrate, and if nitrate concentrations are above safe drinking water standards, notify the users. The first drinking water well sampling results are required by March 2022. Growers will self-identify wells on their property when they file their electronic notice of intent. Sample collection and reporting can be done by the member or delegated to the coalition. The well must be sampled annually for at least 3 consecutive years. If the well has already been sampled within the last 5 years, those results can be used to meet the 3-year requirement. If the average nitrate concentration after 3 years is less than 8 milligrams per liter, the sampling frequency can be reduced to once every 5 years. If any of the results show nitrate concentrations above 10 milligrams per liter, the member must notify all users of the well within 10 days. The coalition will develop a notification protocol for members to use if notification is necessary. On-farm wells that are not used for drinking water do not need to be tested. Next slide. The first irrigation and nitrogen management plan, or INMP, must be completed by March 2023. The INMP is not submitted to the coalition. It is kept on farm to be used and updated by the grower. At the end of each year, the grower will prepare an INMP summary report, which details what actually happened during the year, how much water and nitrogen was actually applied, how much yield was actually achieved, what management practices were actually implemented, etc. The INMP summary report will be submitted to the coalition, who will assign an anonymous identifier, enter it into an Excel spreadsheet, and submit it to the regional board. The INMP summary report must contain enough information to calculate the applied over removed ratio for each parcel and crop. Next slide. The precedential order acknowledges that there may be circumstances when these specific nitrogen requirements are unnecessary. The order provides a narrow exemption for growers who can demonstrate that applied nitrogen does not migrate past the root zone or off the field in irrigation or stormwater runoff. The expert panel made it clear that nitrogen concentration in groundwater is not a reliable indicator of effective source control on the surface. Nitrogen in groundwater could be there because of activities from decades before, and conversely, poor nitrogen management on the surface may not show up in groundwater for decades. For that reason, exemptions from the INMP requirement are not based solely on nitrogen concentrations in underlying groundwater. The precedential order also recognized that the burden of reporting removed nitrogen may not be justified or should be postponed in some circumstances. The precedential order gives specific guidance on when and how regional boards can alter the INMP requirements to accommodate such circumstances. Next slide. These are the requirements for coalitions under the new general order. Again, the requirements shown in bold are the new requirements and are being phased in to give the coalition time to comply. An organizational report will be submitted to the regional board within 90 days of order adoption. The coalition will also be required to submit an annual summary of revenue and expenditures to its members. Reporting templates will be created by the regional board and the coalition to make it easier for members to submit the information required for their farm plans, INMP summary reports, and drinking water notifications. Once the reporting templates are finalized and approved by water board staff, the coalition will have 60 days to make them available to their members. Groundwater trend monitoring is a precedential requirement that comes from the expert panel's recommendation to use multi-year values and trends to assess progress instead of instantaneous measurements. A trend monitoring program plan will be submitted by the coalition within 1 year of order adoption, and monitoring will be performed annually. Next slide. The coalition will collect data from the members' INMP summary reports, organize it into anonymous reports, and submit it to the regional board. The first data report is required by July 2024. A water quality restoration plan could be required if the regional board finds impacts to water quality that are attributed to agricultural activity. These plans are part of the Nonpoint Source Policy's adaptive management approach, where if management practices do not achieve the desired water quality outcome, modifications may be necessary. If a restoration plan is required, it will describe the actual or suspected source of the pollutant, identify improvements or additional management practices to remediate the problem, propose a schedule for implementation, and include a monitoring plan to evaluate progress. Next slide. We provided the coalition with the draft general order to review before releasing it for public review. The coalition requested additional time and was given a total of 12 weeks to comment before the public review period officially began. The coalition asked that existing members be exempt from the requirement to submit an electronic notice of intent. They also asked that nitrogen credits be granted for operations that use compost as a nitrogen source. This is a concept being used in another region as part of the Healthy Soils Initiative adopted by California Department of Food and Agriculture. We will continue to work with the coalition throughout the public comment period, and we will respond to their comments as needed to address their concerns. Next slide. In summary, regulation of agricultural discharges is required by federal law and the state's non-point source policy. The precedential order adopted by the State Board, following recommendations by the Agricultural Expert Panel, requires us to incorporate these changes into our irrigated lands regulatory program. We have met with the coalition to hear their concerns and have made the tentative general order available for a 60-day public review period. The public review period will end August 24th, 2020. We will address the issues raised by the coalition, comments received here today, and any written comments received at the end of the public comment period. The draft general order will then be revised if necessary. And finally, tentative order R7-2020-0026 is scheduled for board consideration at the September 3rd, 2020 meeting. Next slide. I'm happy to listen to comments and answer any questions.
Thank you, Jenny.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, does the discharger or the coalition, I should say, have any comments that they would like to enter into right now? Mary, did they have any? Do you have any speakers?
Yes, we do. Tess Dunham?
Yes, I am here.
Hi, Tess.
Hello, Chair Wright and board members. Thank you for giving us the opportunity today. I am an attorney in Sacramento with the law firm of Consorys and Conway, and I have been retained by the Irrigated Lands Coalition to represent them with respect to the issuance of the general WDR for the Coachella folks. First, I would like to thank Paula and Jenny and staff at the Regional Water Quality Control Board for providing us with an administrative draft and giving us the opportunity to provide some suggested edits to the order in advance. I think that process was very helpful, and we were able to bridge the gap on a number of issues. And so very much appreciate the process and the opportunity to work with staff. They've been very accommodating, and we very much thank them for their willingness to do so. Today, just have a few comments I would like to make on behalf of the coalition. First, just to kind of make sure it's clear for the record, general WDRs as this are actually under your state authority under the Port au Clone Water Quality Control Act. Permits for irrigated agriculture are not required by the Federal Clean Water Act and, in fact, are exempt from the 402 permitting requirements of the Federal Clean Water Act. But in California, the legislature adopted back in 1969 a very broad law called the Port au Clone Water Quality Control Act, which you are all very familiar with, which gives you the authority to regulate both point and non-point sources under state law, which is the authority you are exercising here today with respect to the general WDR. So just want to make sure it's understood and clear with respect to that issue. Regarding the substance of the order itself, we do appreciate revisions that have been made based upon comments that we have provided. I think we have worked out most of the issues. I do think we have some concerns for the coalition on kind of how the enrollment process itself will work with some of the obligations and responsibilities that the coalition will have. And I'm absolutely certain that we'll be able to get these resolved and provide some comments on this and hope to work with staff on it. My concern is the way that the enrollment process is currently set up in references to the notice of applicability. I think there may be some confusion inadvertently that may be caused as to who's covered by the order and when, and what that means to the coalition and its membership. Now, the coalition can only be successful if growers in the Coachella Valley are its members, right? We work collectively. The coalition itself is only as strong as the membership that it has. And so we need to make sure that the order is set up in a way, in a fashion, that that ensures that those that are going to be covered by this order are in fact members of the coalition. And the coalition has some obligations and responsibilities that happen within that first year, such as the surface water monitoring program would continue, as well as requirement to prepare a groundwater trend monitoring program within the first year, and some templates as well. I'm a little concerned that if existing members are given a year to submit an electronic notice of intent and a notice of applicability isn't issued until after that, then people may not think they need to continue their membership in the coalition for the first year or year and a half of the order. That would make it very difficult for the coalition to meet its responsibilities if people are not required to be a member of the coalition. I am absolutely confident that we can work out some of this. It's a process issue, and I think it's just a matter of making sure that we have timing worked out with respect to enrollment, confirmation, a requirement that these folks need to show that they are a confirmed member in the coalition itself, so that they have this obligation. And that will help us as well as you to ensure that those that aren't signing up, the regional board is taking forward its enforcement authority in order to ensure that people are covered properly. If a number of folks decide, oh, this is going to be too hard and we're just going to walk away, we just want to make sure that the water board is there to make sure that they are following the law, just like those that are joining the coalition and being, you know, operating in good faith. So I do think we have some issues on the enrollment that we'll need to work out so we can ensure that the coalition can meet its responsibilities. And that really is the primary point that I wanted to bring forward today. We will be looking at the order and we will be providing comments timely prior to the deadline for any remaining issues that we have, and just to make sure that the order is something that the coalition itself is able to implement and taking on that responsibility. So on behalf of the coalition, thank you. And again, thank you to staff for their willingness to work with us on these issues. Very much appreciated.
Thank you, Tess. Mary, is there anybody else at this point in time to talk?
We do have a public comment speaker request.
Okay, I think we'll take all the speakers and then I'll go back and see if staff has anything to say about any of the comments that either Tess made or that the public will make. So let's start with the public.
Okay, Gail Delahant.
Good morning. I am Gail Delahant with Western Growers Association. Many of our members farm in the Coachella Valley and Imperial Valley. And I am speaking on their behalf this morning. We grow the fresh produce that folks love to eat especially if you're on a diet. I want to thank you guys so much for meeting with us and working out a lot of the issues and concerns that we had in the administrative draft. And I look forward to working with you further, especially with regard to the coalition and enrollment. As we have been working with the coalition in and around this new order and all the new requirements, it is looking like the fees to join the coalition are going to go up several dollars an acre. So where they're paying about $2 an acre now, it looks like they're going to have to be paying $8 to $10 an acre. And so I don't have to tell you that if a farmer sees that I'm now going to have to pay $8 to $10 an acre to be in this coalition, that is a steep price to pay to be covered. So we are going to ask that the regional board do everything in their power to help us make sure that all the growers are joining the coalition and are covered under the order so that this can actually work. Again, I want to thank you very much for working with us on the language in the order, and we look forward to making further comments. Thank you, Gail.
Thank you, Gail. Mary, anybody else?
Nope, that would be it.
Okay, Jenny or any staff or Paul, anybody like to make any comments on either one of those comments?
Jenny, did you have anything to add?
No, nothing to add. I agree with Gail and Tess that we will be able to work out these enrollment issues and work together on that.
Thank you. That's what I wanted to hear. Board. Okay, let's see. Where do we go from here? Look at my page here. Okay, public comments. We did that. Board comments. Okay, start with Jane.
I had a couple of questions, and I heard Tessa's concern about the enrollment process and, you know, being sure that everyone that needed to enroll did and that they were covered. It sounded like that she felt, or the coalition felt, like 1 year might be too long of a time period. Is that a fair takeaway from your concerns, Tess?
I think that I think where the confusion is, we had suggested that for existing members, they actually not be required to submit a new electronic notice of intent, that they would be able to continue forward as members. And that would be an incentive to make sure that people can, their membership continues forward even under the new general order.
So it would just roll over.
It would just roll over. And I think the board staff was, you know, being respectful of the concern that we had, was trying to say, well, we'll give existing members more time to fill out that ENOI because they would like them to fill out a new ENOI. But I think there's some confusion because there's also language in here that says the executive officer will issue a notice of applicability upon receiving the ENOI, and people then are covered at that point in time. So existing members, actually, I think that inadvertently these two provisions result in potentially allowing existing members to walk away for over a year from paying coalition fees and are not being required to be covered by the order for over a year. So I think the intent was to try to give existing members more time. And what I think, and unfortunately, it ends up creating a hole that is a pretty large hole that would allow people to walk away, which would be problematic for the coalition in order to meet its responsibilities.
Thank you. And my question for Gail, she was talking about the cost per acre increasing from about $2 up to $8 or $10, which is a substantial increase. What goes into that number? I mean, why the big jump?
It's because the requirements of the order need to be tracked closer. There needs to be a lot of outreach to the members. and to the farmers. So we have to hire an executive director to manage the coalition and an assistant to make sure that all the data coming in is accurate and the summary reports are completed. We'll also have to hire people to do the monitoring summary reports and make sure those are accurate. The Coachella Valley Water District will no longer be helping in several of the things that they did prior in the prior years. And so as we have to hire new people, those costs go up. We have gotten out and gotten several estimates on that cost, and that's where that increased cost comes from. Now, the more members that you have join the coalition, the less it is per acre. And so that's why the big concern that all the growers actually join the coalition and not drop out. And you should know also we've been in contact with Imperial and the grower coalition over there to see if there is a possibility at all to join the two together so there's more acreage covered under, per se, one coalition so that that cost can go down for all the growers. I don't know how that looks yet. We are still in the very early stages of discussions to see if that could potentially work out. Understanding that the water quality issues and the farming practices over in Imperial and in Coachella are very different. And all those water wars are very different. But that's what we're looking at now.
So at a high level, what did CVWD provide in terms of services to the coalition?
So I don't want to speak for them. They're still willing to do a summary report of the water quality data that they take. But as far as helping the coalition, and I'm not real familiar with exactly what they did for the coalition in the past, they said they won't be able to do that going forward.
If I may, Jane.
Yeah, sorry, Tess. Thank you.
No problem, Board Member Powell. I think the primary issue here is the program is being expanded from the surface water monitoring program, which I believe the Water District was very essential in helping the coalition with and the reporting associated with it. Under the new order, there will be a significant amount of new reporting by growers individually for what we call a farm evaluation report, as well right. as irrigation and nitrogen management plan summer report. And those reports go to the coalition. The coalition compiles that information to then submit to the water board. So that is kind of at a high level, and as well as new groundwater monitoring requirements that the water district would not, you know, be inclined to assist with. So those new requirements at a high level are the, you know, fairly labor intensive and require that additional time and staff. And so that's why there is this expansion and the potential cost increase.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the board, Ed?
No, I think staff and they're doing a good job, and anything that the board can do to ensure that everyone joins this coalition, I think we should be proactive and assist wherever we can.
Anybody else? Peter, Sahara?
I have just a quick question regarding what kind of requirements for reporting are in place for the mandated education outreach component of the order?
Can I answer that?
Yeah, Jenny, go ahead.
We've always required education and outreach. It's always been part of our ag regulation going way back. What's different about the new order is the coalitions will have to provide and document attendance by every member for at least one event per year. So in that way, it's different. So, and that that will be part of their responsibility.
How's it been historically tracked, I guess?
In a region, say for Imperial, which I'm familiar with, they do an annual, they call them drain shed meetings. And there is an advantage in places like Imperial because the coalition is also the Farm Bureau and the local water district. So they have a lot of resources from those two organizations to help. And so they've sort of taken that education part over. They also do newsletters and they include little flyers inside the water bills. So they have that available to them.
Okay. Thank you.
Sahara, any questions?
No questions.
Okay, I've got something. How does SGMA, the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act, and the Sustainable Groundwater Management Plans that will be due by 2020 or 2022, mostly in the Coachella Valley, how does that mesh with these new regs for groundwater issues for farmland? I would think that they would somehow meet along the way. Does anybody have any ideas, Gail or Tess or anybody from the water district or the regional board?
Well, this is Tess, Chair Wright, and I'll take a first stab at it. I think that we are hopeful that with some of the groundwater monitoring, we might be able to at least have some coordination so we're not duplicating monitoring with respect to groundwater that may be occurring by the GSAs that would also be required of the coalition here on behalf of its members. So I think that the monitoring component there is an overlap and hopefully something that can be coordinated. When it comes to specific permit requirements, such as the irrigation and nutrient management plans on growers, there probably is not as much of an overlap with SGMA. I think that, I work throughout California, and what we're also very cognizant that the coalition members are the same folks that are going to be assessed to implement the groundwater sustainability plans. I mean, it all is coming down to the same group of folks, and hopefully the coalition can work with the SGMA folks so we can avoid duplication of activities. As we all know, nothing upsets growers more than feeling like they're paying administrative costs twice for the same service. So hoping that we can make sure that that does not occur. But of course, there are certain requirements here that are imposed through Port Oklahoma and the Water Board that cannot be imposed through a GSA per se.
Yeah, with that, thank you. That's what I was kind of thinking too. Somewhere along the line, there's got to be a meet. You have to meet somewhere and mesh with the monitoring. You're right, especially. Okay, thank you. So I think we're done with comments. Don't think I have any more. So I'd like to thank everybody who participated in this workshop. Thank you, Jenny. Great PowerPoint. Will that be posted anywhere, your PowerPoint, Jenny? Do you know? Like on our website or State Board's website or both? Or
I do not know about that. Maybe Mary or I definitely can post it. But I would.
Or else I'd like to have a copy of it. But I think posting it might be good. It has some good information on it.
Yes, I'd like a copy also.
We'll check into that.
I do believe that the board meetings are available on the website, so you can go there too, but we can get you a copy.
The PowerPoint would be there because it's not in our packet, so I was wondering. Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
If not, then you might get a copy to the board and eventually put it on our website if other people would like to see it. Okay, so thank you, everybody. We'll go on to item number 4, which is the Executive Officer Report.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the board, members of the public. I just have a little bit to add on to what I provided at our board meeting 2 weeks ago. I would like to mention that recently the Assistant Executive Officer issued 3 administrative civil liability complaints. These 3 complaints were for dischargers of cannabis facilities that are enrolled in the State Board General Order, which regulates the cannabis discharges. The complaints were issued to NCA Management Company in Needles for $334,000, Lean Green Industries in Cathedral City for $237,000, and Curtis Divine Paradise Wellness Center in Needles for $50,000. Now, unless the dischargers had waived their right to a hearing within 90 days of issuance of the complaint, they would have been had a hearing at the September board meeting. However, all three dischargers have submitted waivers to their right to a hearing, and the prosecution team and the dischargers are currently engaged in settlement negotiations. As with all pending enforcement matters, board members should not engage in ex parte discussion on these matters. The complaints are posted on our website if anybody would like to see them. And that is all I have to say for this meeting. I would like to mention that we do have a board meeting scheduled for September 3rd. And at this point in time, I expect that it will be virtual, although we haven't yet sorted that out. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Paula. Board members, Jane?
And unmute. Thank you. Particularly thank you, Jenny, for an excellent presentation. I really found it informative and appreciated it. I also wanted to give a shout out to Daniel Martin, who helps the board with all their IT issues. Over the holiday weekend, I was looking at my board email account, and there was this odd-looking email that looked quasi-official, but yet it didn't. And so I did a screenshot and sent it to him on a Sunday afternoon of the 4th of July weekend. He responded within minutes and was like, don't open it. It's a phishing attempt. So I just thought that was really awesome, and I appreciated it.
Very good. Ed, any closing comments?
Yeah, I just agree with Jane that Jenny did a great job on her presentation.
Peter?
Same, but yeah, no other updates for me.
Sahara?
No comment.
Okay. I guess I don't have anything except I can say ditto to all that. It was very good. Jenny, thanks. A lot of good information. I'd like to thank everybody who participated once again. Good workshop. I'm sure we will be talking about this again. And I look forward to seeing how staff and the coalition work on some of these items that were talked about today. So look forward to that. So if nothing else, we have no closed session today. So nothing else, I will adjourn this meeting. Meeting adjourned.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.